horse racing, including exclusive buyer speed figures and best-in-class expert selections. Experience the new mobile-optimized GRF Pass performances on your phone from anywhere at any time. Get true mobile PPs with every DRF race card you download. Try DRF Mobile Pass Performances today at DRF.com.
Racing fans, just two weekends of springtime racing remain here at Santa Anita, so don't miss out on great racing and good times through June 19th. Join us this Saturday, June 11th, for the third and final jewel in racing's Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes at a mile and one half from New York, as Kentucky Derby winner Rich Strike will be out to validate his long shot win in the Run for the Roses. Admission gates open early on Saturday at 8 a.m. and bring the family each weekend through closing day as our infield family fun zone with pony rides, inflatable jumpers, face painting, and more will be available. Get your tickets now at santaanita.com. In addition to our traditional closing day feature, the San Juan Capistrano at a mile and three quarters down the hillside turf course and two other stakes will have a trackside Father's Day barbecue, drums for dad's packages, and much more on closing day, June 19th. First post time every day is at 1 o'clock.
The following is a sponsored program that does not reflect the opinions or policies of KEIB AM 1150 The Patriot or iHeartMedia.
But it's Freehouse in front with 50 yards to run, and it's going to be Freehouse. Silver John comes right back and in. They run to the wire, they get out. Freehouse and nose to Silver John. Serena Song ahead. Exotic Word all hearts on the outside. Serena Song has the call on all her pass, and she's just got too much class. Serena Song beats Exotic Word.
Here comes the big white horse. Tigers on the outside. Tigers on the outside. Charges up. Challenges Mr. Red. Vigors on the outside, Mr. Adoy, Vigors in front.
The big pink guy driving Greenton up alongside of a rat, and it's Greenton coming through to win the big gap.
It's a firm going away to lead by four lengths, and Johnny's Image second, a firm in front.
John Henry takes the lead. It's John Henry.
And now it's time for Inside Racing, a full hour of coverage on everything going on in the sport of kings here in Southern California and around the country. And here's your host, Jason Levine.
Yeah.
Hey, good Saturday Belmont Stakes morning to you. How's everybody doing out there? Hope you're doing well. It is June 11, and it is the third leg of the Triple Crown. And I'm Jason Levine here on Inside Racing to talk about it with you, with our man Steve Pollock and our man Jay Friedlander. We're ready. This is a big card. It always is. Not as many horses as we'd like on this card, but that is a function of the fact that there's half as many horses bred as there were in 2007. Half. I didn't quite realize that. I knew the foal crop had been dwindling or going down every year, but it was, I guess I'll throw this out there. It was at about 33 or 34,000 every year from 1995 all the way to 2007. And then it started to drop about 1,000 or two every year. And then just kept going and going and going. In the last couple of years, from 34,000, we're at 17,000. That's half. So there's half as many horses as there were, 15 years ago. It is kind of remarkable. And today is a good example. It's they went with an all-graded stakes, or almost all-graded stakes card, which is debatable, but that's what they've been doing for a while. And there's just not a lot of horses in there. The good news is that there are a lot of great horses running, and almost every race has a great matchup or two. And so the quality is absolutely there today. The quantity is not. In some of the stakes races. There are a couple of the other races that are preloaded, and a couple of the stakes on the grass drew some really nice fields. But anyway, we're going to be getting after it. The graded stakes action starts in race three at Belmont, and it goes straight through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Pretty amazing. And like I said, some champions and future champions on this card nonstop. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, topped by the Belmont, mile and a half, no Triple Crown on the line because the Derby winner didn't run in the Preakness. But he's back, Rich Strike. And this is a Belmont where everyone in this field, as it turned out, has a lot to prove, just how it worked out. None more than Rich Strike, 81-1 Derby winner, with that unbelievable ride, great finish up the rail, flying at the two favorites and nailed them in the shadow of the wire under jockey Sonny Leone, who immediately went back to the Ohio circuit and is now back on the big stage. And it's going to be exciting to break down this Belmont, look at it, talk about it with the guys. A lot of different options in here. One thing I will note right off the bat, and we're going to talk about the whole card, and I'll talk about Santa Anita as well. But this Belmont, as opposed to this Kentucky Derby, the kind of key to the Derby was, you know, we had a couple real fast runners in there that were going to ensure a fast pace, and boy, did they ever. And that pace had a lot to do with knocking out a lot of contenders who were too close to it and set it up for somebody to come from way behind. And lo and behold, it was the one horse nobody considered, Rich Strike. Coming from synthetic tracks for trainer Eric Reed, hadn't been better than third, and then boom. But the pace had a lot to do with it. Well, this Belmont doesn't have much pace at all. We the People appears to be the speed of the race, and he's not that fast. So that doesn't bode well for Rich Strike or Mo Donegal, who's probably going to be the favorite here. So more of a jockey's race, and Rich Strike and Mo Donegal are going to need to be closer than usual in here. But if the pace is more moderate, they should be able to be closer than usual. So interesting in that note, and not the greatest way it played out for Rich Strike, but that's how it works. He did have his 5 weeks. They took their time with him. He's had his workouts. All systems are go. He looks great. And the connections are saying all the right things. He's been at Belmont for a while, so no excuses here. We'll see. We'll get a better chance or sense anyway of what Rich Strike is made of today. So I'm actually going to talk about the Belmont in a few minutes and break it down from a thoroughgraph perspective. I'll be doing their races today, one from Santa Anita and the Belmont itself. But let's take a step back here before we do that and quickly roll to, well, let's go to Santa Anita first and get that out of the way. Great race place. Interesting that the feature is race 7 today at Santa Anita on a 10-race card where the back end of the card is very nice. So the pick 4 is pretty nice. Two of the last 3 races are excellent races, all have pretty full fields. So that's pretty cool. And the feature is the Affirmed. On the day of the Belmont, maybe still the greatest race I ever attended was the 1978 Belmont, where Affirmed beat Alidar by a nose after they went at it for the last mile and a quarter of the mile and a half race, and won the Triple Crown and made my day, that's for sure. I still have the winning ticket from then when the tickets were cool looking. Remember those? When they printed the tickets, they were in color. They're beautiful. Have that. And gotten to know the jockey Steve Coffin, been on the show a few times. Wonderful guy, my age, and boy, was it exciting for him to be a teenager riding the Belmont and putting on a phenomenal ride and winning the race of a lifetime there. And the feature today is the Affirmed. So always fun to remember one of my all-time favorite horses, trained by Laz Barrera. He was fun. Anyway, the Affirmed came up a very interesting, weird race because there's only 6 horses. Not surprising, considering, again, the lack of overall horses and the fact that most of the good 3-year-olds went to that guy, Bob Baffert. He had like 45 of them. Think about that. Most other trainers got 2, 3, 4 from the sales. He got over 40. 4 of the 6 in here were horses that went to Baffert. They're, of course, not trained right now by Baffert because he is suspended, thankfully, and on the sidelines. So Sean McCarthy has 2 of them, and Tim Yachtin has the other 2. And then Jeff Mullins has Fast Draw Munnings, and George Papa Prodromu has Pioneering Papa on the outside. I think Fast Draw Munnings actually has a shot in here. He had a little trouble last time, but he's pretty capable going a mile and a 16th. And he's going to face Hopper on the rail for McCarthy, Doppelganger for Yachtin, High Connection for McCarthy, and Newgrange, who was the favorite in the Rebel down at Oaklawn after going 3 for 3 to start his career when he was trained by Baffert, And he was still trained by Baffert when he sent him to the Rebel, and Newgrange ran poorly and hasn't been seen since. He tired badly, and this is his comeback race here in June after we haven't seen him since February. So it's kind of interesting the way it all played out there. But four from that barn now split up. And these were the lower-priced Bafferts that weren't, you know, that much wasn't expected of them. They all did enough to kind of, well, a couple of them did, to get on the Derby trail, Doppelganger and Newgrange. But then they failed when they hit top company. And here they are trying to restart with a couple other Bafferts that are trying to go up the ladder. So that's just how it is these days. And it's one of the reasons the sport is struggling. Too many good horses going to too few trainers. It's not good for the sport at all. And we're seeing it at Belmont with Chad Brown. He's got over half the field in one of the turf races. He had four yesterday. He's got four today in one race, three in another. Not good for the game. They're not coupled. But that's where we're at. So I thought kind of a sneaky good card at Santa Anita today. Interesting feature. And then again, the back end of the card, very nice. I'm going to talk about race six. Let's see. Jay's going to talk about race eight, and Steve's looking at race nine on the 10-race card at Santa Anita. So it's going to be a beautiful day out there, a little warm, but a gorgeous day to go out. If you haven't been, as always, it's a beautiful place to be out at Santa Anita. You pretty much have the run of the place, and San Gabriel Mountain sitting right there looming. Beautiful. Just a great place to watch horses run and be out there among other horse players. So go for it. If that's your move today, Belmont Park, let's dig in a little bit. Race three is the Acorn. It's a one-turn mile. A reminder that you really don't want to draw the rail going a mile at Belmont. If you don't break well, you're in a little trouble. The two contenders here did not draw the rail. The four, Matarea, with Flavian Pratt, who's been doing a great job going against the big boys in New York. And Echo Zulu on the outside, who suffered her first loss last time in the Kentucky Oaks. She ran well, got a little tired, she comes back here. So it looks like a two-horse race, Matarea and Echo Zulu. I prefer Matarea in there. That kicks off all the stakes action. It's a grade one, followed by the Just the Game on the grass. This one's kind of fun because, not because Chad Brown has, what is it, four of them? Three. It's got, I think, the three favorites in here in only a six-horse field. But the rail horse is very familiar to California. It's Legs Galore, who ships back there. The cowbred, very fast. She will have the lead in here for sure, and we'll see how far she can go. She's gone a mile before successfully on the grass, and they're going to have to come catch her. They probably will, but she's in really, really good form, and trainer Phil D'Amato and owner William Sims took the shot today, which I give him credit for. Why not? It's a grade one. She's in great form. Take your chance, right? She comes off a win down the hillside. Very impressive. And we'll see how far she can take them. So that's always kind of fun. She's 12-1 in the morning line. Has to deal with, like I said, three quality Chad Browns, including Regal Glory. And we'll see how that plays out. Mile on the grass. Next is the mile and a half Brooklyn. So we get to see that race before the Belmont. Get to see him go all the way around the mile and a half track that Belmont is, the only one in the country. Very nice field in here. Thought this was a solid race. I thought six of the seven had a chance. Then we go to race six, the Woody Stevens. Jack Christopher is 1-2 on the morning line, but drew the rail here going 7 furlongs, which is not a good draw. And there's some other talent in here. Papa Cap, Witt, Morello, all pretty good. I think all three of those have a shot to beat Jack Christopher if he doesn't break well or if he's not 100%. So it's kind of interesting in race six. Then in race seven, the Ogden Phipps. Boy, is this a good race. Okay, small field, but Latruska draws the rail, has the speed advantage, has to deal with Malafat, the three-year-old champion who came back very impressive as a four-year-old. She's really good. Clairiere, who we've seen dance all the big dances, comes off a big second in the Apple Blossom. She's really good. And on the outside search results for Chad Brown, she's really good, comes off an easy win in the grade two Ruffian. One thing that's interesting here, I talked about the Ortiz brothers a couple weeks ago. Well, here you have Arad Ortiz on the 5 search results and Jose Ortiz on the 1 Latruska. Latruska is the obvious speed of the race. The only other contender with the enough speed to push her is the 5 search results. So will Irad push his brother? We'll see. There's a few of these today with the Ortiz brothers that are kind of interesting. So keep your eye on that. But it's a really good Ogden Phipps. And all these horses are in good form. This is what you want. The best going at it. Grade one and tremendous quality in this race. I think Latruska is a little vulnerable in here. And I think Malathat is the one that's going to get her. Race 8, the Jiper. I'll leave this one to Steve. He's got, I think, 7 races from Belmont as a bonus on a Santa Anita full card. He went at it today. And he's going to talk about the Jiper, which is a 6 furlong turf sprint, full field. I believe there's 13 in here. Got a couple California horses coming back. Just an excellent race. Probably the best race of the day as far as depth of field, size of field. And then race 9 is the Met Mile. Didn't even get to that yet. The Met Mile, which they've thrown onto this card now. And we get to see Flightline run. Yeah, Flightline. Him. Haven't seen him since the Malibu on opening day, December 26th. He doesn't run often. When he does, wow. One of the fastest horses we've seen in a long time. Beautiful to watch run. He drew the rail going a mile. Not where you want to draw, so he needs to break well. But he got a break here because the connections of Jackie's Warrior, and that would be owners Kirk and Judy Robison, trainer Steve Asmussen, one of the weakest moves I can remember in a long time, and shame on them. They ran yesterday in the True North going 6.5 furlongs instead of today in the Met Mile against Flightline and Speaker's Corner. That is just straight up weak. It's poor. And, you know, I don't own the horse. Fine. It bothers me. You should want to compete. You've got a horse that good. He's an all-time sprinter. And he was clearly in career form. He ran lights out yesterday. And they knew that. Asmussen knew he was coming into the race great. And instead of taking on the other top 2 horses, and yeah, a mile may be a little too far for him, but he's done it before and won going a mile, and he won big going a mile at Belmont as a 2-year-old. He can do it. And this is the race, the Met Mile. Nobody cares about the True North at all. Beat up on a bunch of tomato cans. Don't do that. It's bad for the sport, and it's not competitive. So I thought that was just pathetic with a great horse like that. So would have been beautiful to see Jackie's Warrior in here against Flightline and Speaker's Corner. It's not going to happen. So screw them for doing that. But we get Flightline on the rail right next to him, Speaker's Corner. I can tell you on Thoroughgraph numbers, Speaker's Corner is just about equal to Flightline, which is saying something because Flightline has a pair of -5s, -5s. You just don't see that. He's that special. Speaker's Corner ran a -4.75 last time. Woo! This is going to be good. And we're going to see Flightline challenge today. We're going to find out what he's made of, finally, as he stretches out to a mile and does it against a horse that's in great form with a great trainer, Bill Mott, has had time into the race. This is a no-excuses race. The Breeders' Cup sprint winner is in here, Aloha West. If the 1 and the 2 go at it early, maybe it sets it up for him. Happy Saver is a really nice horse. He's cutting back to a mile here. He'll be coming at the end for sure for Todd Pletcher. So the Met Mile, small field, but, woo, man, is that going to be fun. That is going to be good. Yeah, really excited about this one. And then the Manhattan, the turf races came up good. So this is a full field, race 10, the Manhattan. Really nice race. Hufo, Santine, Channel Maker, Highland Chief, 3 from Chad Brown. Really, really nice race. Part of the pick 4, part of the late double with the Belmont. It's going to be really, really good. So, yeah, looking forward to all of it. Very excited to get after it. Going to bring Steve on now. Going to go through some races with him. Then bring Jay on, and I'm going to close the show by talking about the Belmont itself from a Thoroughgraph perspective and also a race from Santa Anita. So stick around for that. Oh, man, this is good. Now I'm just getting pumped up as we go. So let's talk to Mr. Pollock and bring him in. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
I'm ready. I know you're ready. This was fun. Big room watching replays. Come on, man. They throw a big card like that at you as a handicapper and as a fan of racing. You just got to be thrilled when these days come up.
You know, the two fabulous grass races, and I'm going to talk about one of them. Two fabulous grass races at Belmont, the eighth, the sprint race there, and the Manhattan. I thought both of those races just came up outstanding from a betting standpoint. I think they're open, and I think that they're certainly playable, and you could hit them at a price. The Belmont, I think it's a little bit of a lackluster field, but it's certainly competitive. I'm not so sure how good these three-year-olds are. I think they're just okay, but it's going to be a lot of fun seeing the Derby winner come back. But I got to admit, Jason, I'm most excited about seeing Flightline today. I know from a thoroughgraph standpoint, he's not that much faster, or if he is faster at all, than Speaker's Corner. But when you visually watch Flightline for three races, I've never seen a horse visually better than that after three races. When he runs, he's just got this dynamic turn around the turn, and when he comes for home, he's always completely geared down. So when I see Speaker's Corners races, he's all out, and I see Flightline, and I see more in the tank, and I just think there's a big difference between the two. Myself, I'd love to find out today. Unfortunately, it's really not a great betting race, but I think we're going to see possibly an all-timer here, Jason. For three races, I've never seen a horse run three better races in my life. Melaire comes to mind. I'm just trying to think of who I've seen run three better races than this horse to start a career. And I'm coming up pretty empty. I'm pretty excited to see this horse today. Be very interesting. Like you said, the rail is not a great draw for him, but it is only a five-horse field. Maybe they won't have that rail. They won't have that gate so close to the rail, and maybe this horse just breaks running, and instantly that position becomes a moot point. But I'm excited to see him run, excited to see the Belmont Stakes. I think you hit the nail on the head. Maybe the most important thing about the Belmont, where's the pace in here? You know, I thought Mo Donegal has already proven that Wood Memorial was a big race, because early voting comes back and runs huge and wins the Preakness very easily. And I think Mo Donegal went the wrong way. I just did not like Irad Ortiz's ride. We've been seeing Ortiz make one good ride after the next, especially on these big days. He's been winning all the big races, is super, super hot. He and Pratt are really having a big rivalry right now. Those two are going at it every day. But it'd be very interesting to see what Mo Donegal can do without a lot of pace, and that's the same thing that Rich Strike is going to have to overcome. We the People, very, very good pace scenario for that one. He certainly looked good last time, but Jason, he comes from Oaklawn. Other than the filly who did win the Kentucky Oaks for Dwayne Lucas, the horses at Oaklawn have really performed poorly in the Triple Crown series, so it'll be really interesting to see if We the People, maybe he just didn't break in the Arkansas Derby, and that was the case. And this horse has to be on the lead and should get the lead today. So it'll be interesting to see if We the People bounces back today.
Yeah, it really will. It appears to set up for him, but again, we just don't know his quality. He didn't beat that much in the Peter Pan. It was kind of an off track that day, so there's some questions about him. The filly Nest is also in the race. That's kind of exciting, kind of fun. Todd Pletcher, I think, agreed with you, looked at the field and said, you know what? We're trying it. It's not like there's a lot of world beaters in here. Let's take a shot. He's won this race before with a filly, Rags to Riches, and gives it a shot with Nest, who was a very nice second in the Kentucky Oaks. So that adds some intrigue to the race for sure. But just a lot of quality up and down the card at Belmont Park. And like you said, Flightline, you know, there's a reason there's been so much buzz about him. He earns it when he races. He just doesn't race very often. So we had to wait 6 months, but here he is. So to have a talent like that back on the track is super exciting. I'm with you. I really want to see him run. I wanted to see Jackie's Warrior test him. That's why I was so angry they ran him yesterday. That's just unfortunate.
Especially as good as Jackie's Warrior ran yesterday. I mean, obviously, he was ready to run his A race. And, man, oh, man, that's disappointing. You're right about that.
Yeah, disappointing, to say the least. Okay. I will throw out for folks, there's a couple special bets today that I didn't mention. You can bet a special double with the Met Mile and the Belmont. So, for example, if you love Flightline, you think he's unbeatable there, you can, you know, use him and then hammer the double to the Belmont. If you like somebody in there or a couple horses in there, that's a special bet you can make. Only 18% takeout, not bad. And then there's a turf triple. This is up your alley, Steve. The race 8, the Jaipur, race 10, the Manhattan, and race 4, the Just the Game. are their own three-horse bet. And I believe it's a dollar minimum. So that's good. And that's kind of a fun turf triple that goes on today. So a couple special bets on the special day from Naira. You can bet those on Naira bets, obviously. But kind of interesting there, a couple different options. So you have a ton of Belmont races on the Santa Anita full card as a bonus for the folks today, which is awfully nice. And you're going to talk about one of those, and that is the Jaipur, right? Race 8?
It is race 8, Jason.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that right now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Jason, the favorite in here is the 5-horse Arrest Me, and an extremely interesting trip. I thought, you know, this is why you see Irad Ortiz's greatness. You know, some of these rides, you see these guys ride, and they just look like everyday jockeys. But the ride he made on this horse last time, Arrest Me, was – I had it as a 7-way duel across the track, Jason. There were 7 horses involved, and I thought it was amazing how Irad just grabbed this horse so easily and just kind of, like, got him to settle back behind him. There were a few horses that went on, but he was fourth by a neck, and I'm telling you, there were so many horses across the track in that race. Very unusual start to that race, but I just thought it was super impressive how he just guided this horse back a little bit, and then he went on with it. Now, this horse has actually been a little bit of an in-and-outer. He had put together a three-race win streak and then disappointed at even money. I think he's the horse to beat. The extra distance is going to be interesting for him. I think this little extra distance, and to be honest with you, Wesley Ward has been incredible in these races, and he has gotten to a point where he's almost unbeatable in these turf sprints. So I've got to mention Arrest Me Red first. But I tell you what, there's a horse in here. It's a California horse, and I don't like to be a homer unless I can get a price.
There you go.
Gregorian Chant, Jason. Gregorian Chant had 3 races in a row out here. Phil D'Amato was running this horse long, and folks, you got to remember these races, the San Simeon, the Clocker's Corner, just 3 incredible races in a row. And then he showed up at this race last year. Yeah. And for some reason, Luis Saenz decides, I'm going to show speed early. Well, this horse is definitely not built that way. This is a closer. He likes to take back. I think he's got the right rider now. And if you looked at his form and you went to 5 furlongs at Del Mar, we know the horse that won that race, Lieutenant Dan, was unbelievable at that time.
Yep.
And he lost to that horse twice in a row. But he started the year out after a little bit of time off with another incredible win, Jason, stopping the clock down the hill at 1:11.2. That is serious racehorse time. And it sort of got him back to where he was those 3 races in a row. And I thought, okay, here we go with this horse. And last time in the turf sprint, he drew the 1 hole at Churchill Downs and stayed inside the entire way. Jason, you do not want to be on the inside right now at Churchill. For those of you who've been watching, I think there's some serious issues with that turf course right now. They redid it, and the horses that are on the inside are absolutely spinning their wheels, and I really think that's what happened to Gregorian Chant last time. He only got beat a length and 3/4 by Arrest Me Red. I think if he gets the right trip in here, and I think he will, I think Rosario is not going to make the same kind of mistake. I think he's going to be able to take back. He gets that extra half a furlong, which I think is imperative for this horse. He is 3 for 4 at this distance. And he's a little bit of a price because he's trying to do the West Coast to East Coast thing, which has been tough everywhere except for in turf sprints. If you think of all the Peter Miller horses that have come out here, and certainly D'Amato is really at the top of his game right now and has some of the best horses and some of the best training on the West Coast and has the capability of going west to east. So I think we'll get a price here, folks. I think we really will here. I'm going to take a shot here with Gregorian Chant, the 13 at 8-1. And we're going to box him in the exacta with the 4 Casa Creed. We're going to use the 5 Arrest Me Red. And I'm going to use the 12 Year Jockey. It's the 13 Gregorian Chant with 4, 5, and 12 in the 8th race out at Belmont today.
Yeah, I'm with you. Gregorian Chant is a very talented racehorse and goes, like you said, from inside to outside today, the 13 hole, but does get the extra distance. This is a 6-furlong sprint as opposed to what he had to do last time at Churchill, like you said, down on the rail on the inside the entire time. So, yeah, this is a great race, a key race, obviously, in the late pick 4, if people are going to play that, probably the best race. This and the Manhattan, definitely the deepest races on this great card. So Gregorian Chant, the 13 with 4, 5, 12 at Belmont when you've got most of the card there, along with the Santa Anita full card. So let's jump to Santa Anita, and you're going to talk about race 9.
I am, Jason. An interesting race in here. It's an optional claimer. There are a few horses in for a tag at $100,000. Bold Endeavor and Dean Martini on the outside are both in for the tag. I'll tell you what, if you look up and down this field of 7, Jason, these horses are very in and out. I mean, a lot of these coming off of 10 length losses, and you go back in their form, they put together wins. So a little bit below the best, but very inconsistent types. And I think that's what you see a lot with routers. You see the sheet on this horse going in and out and in and out. And I'm going to go with an in and outer here today, Jason. My horse today is going to be the one Extra Hope. I like Extra Hope today. Now, this is a Richard Mandela trainer play. And for those of you who know me over the years, this is my guy for sure. I love the way this guy trains. And I see a little extra with this horse in the morning. I mean, look at those workouts, Jason. This horse came back in April facing a very, very tough Royal Ship who did not come back to run all that well last time out. So that might disappoint some, and that might make the case for this one less. But this horse has really been training well, especially those last two workouts, that May 30th race workout in 111 and 2. And then he comes back in June 5th in 112 and 2. And I love to see these Mandelas run a little bit longer distance. Now, if you look at the pace in here, the three-horse Parnelli certainly has speed, and so does the two-horse Archon. It's pretty close, but I think Tyler from the inside got to take advantage of that position. This guy hasn't broken as well in a couple of races, but I think if he breaks today, if you look at those two wins, those last two wins going 5 and 6 races back, both of those races he broke well, broke out on the lead, and I think that's what he needs to do today. Now, Parnelli, the three-horse, is probably going to be overbet in here. Is this horse dead-heated with the Hollywood Gold Cup winner, There Goes Harvard. And Harvard came back beating that nice field just a couple weeks ago. So I think Parnelli really gets some attention. But look at this horse, Jason, really, really in and out. Obviously a big in race from this one last time. No matter how you slice it, you go to his previous race, and it just wasn't that good. Now, the number on the sheets, amazingly so, in the 13-length loss, 5 races back, is pretty good. But look at who beat him there. It was Flightline. So this horse, very, very much an in and out, or coming off a big performance, thinking he comes back a little bit today. And Affable ran a good one fresh. He didn't run quite as well last time. I think he might bounce back and run a good one here today. I'm going to use both of those horses, Jason, in the exacta. To me, this is Extra Hope's race. If he can break good, I think he has a good chance and is the value of the race. I'm going to play him to win. 2 simple exacta boxes here with the 3 Parnelli and the 4 Affable. It's the 1 Extra Hope in the 9th race out at Santa Anita today.
All right, on the 10 race card, again, we said the back end of the card here is kind of fun and kind of nice, and this is one of this races, race 9, the 1 Extra Hope for that man, Richard Mandela, with the 3 and 4. Before I let you go, Steve, a couple other comments on the Belmont card.
Well, you know, it's kind of a great race, then a solid favorite. Great race, solid favorite. And I think those favorites are pretty solid. So I think this could be a good day, folks, to try to run some pick threes through there. I think this is a good day to try to string some races together. So I did put the pick 5 on the line today, but I would suggest starting out maybe race 4, race 5. I would start playing some pick threes because I think some of those races offer some value and there are some pretty solid favorites in there. And I think those pick threes, you could run it right through the card today.
Yeah, I'm looking. You have races, well, really from race 4 all the way through, right? Races 4 through 11. You've got everything there on the Santa Anita full card. That's a heck of a bonus. And some really high-quality racing at Belmont Park today. Like I said, some favorites tough to beat. That's fine, but some other interesting races around them, kind of back and forth. So let's have some fun. Get after it today. We're going to see some great horses run. We're going to see an intriguing Belmont with a lot to prove from everybody in there and some serious talent on the card today back in New York, and excited about that. So well done by you. Let's have a big day, and we'll talk next Saturday.
All right, Jason, have a great day out there yourself. Everybody enjoy yourselves out there. This is really a big, big day. Have some fun, and we'll look forward to talking to everybody next week, Jason.
All right, Steve Pollock's got the full card from Santa Anita and races 4 through 11 from Belmont for you all in one spot on racingjason.com. There you have it. All right, we're going to take a break. Going to come back with Jay Friedlander. He's got one from Belmont where he's been doing very well, and Santa Anita. And I've got some Thoroughgraph plays after that. Stick around. This is Inside Racing on AM 1150.
Patriot, AM 1150.
Naira Bets has become the go-to for betting horse racing for fans across the country. They enjoy incredible HD live video and replays, competing in online contests, and earning more back with exclusive promotions. It all starts with new players earning up to a $200 new member bonus with promo code JASON200. Sign up now at NairaBets.com or download the Naira Bets app to get started with promo code JASON200.
Racing fans, just two weekends of springtime racing remain here at Santa Anita, so don't miss out on great racing and good times through June 19th. Join us this Saturday, June 11th, for the third and final jewel in racing's Triple Crown, the Belmont Stakes at a mile and one half from New York, as Kentucky Derby winner Rich Strike will be out to validate his long shot win in the Run for the Roses. Admission gates open early on Saturday at 8 a.m. and bring the family each weekend through closing day as our infield family fun zone with pony rides, inflatable jumpers, face painting, and more will be available. Get your tickets now at santaanita.com. In addition to our traditional closing day feature, the San Juan Capistrano at a mile and three quarters down the hillside turf course and two other stakes will have a trackside Father's Day barbecue, drums for dad's packages, and much more on closing day, June 19th. First post time every day is at 1 o'clock.
You're listening to The Patriot, AM 1150.
Okay, we're back. Inside Racing on Belmont Stakes Day. Can Rich Strike do it? Can the filly Nest beat him? We'll see. I guess we're having a little trouble getting Jay, so I'm going to jump in and do the Belmont then. Let's do that. From a Thoroughgraph perspective, let's talk Belmont Stakes. It's race 11 today. It finishes off all the stakes racing. And again, I mentioned that the intriguing horse in here to me is the filly Nest. She's number three. She's 8-1 on the morning line. I don't think we'll get 8-1. I think we'll get 5-1, 6-1, something like that on her. And she's the one to me that kind of jumped out, number three Nest. And the race, the key race here is two back. Let me just get it in front of me. And that was when she ran at Keeneland, the big race there. And she had run a pair of fives on Thoroughgraph, which is very nice to end her two-year-old year, 5 1/4, 5 1/2, which is always a good sign. She came back as a three-year-old at Tampa and ran a 5 1/4 again. So good sign. Not great. Like to see her run a little bit better, but when they come right back to their top, it's a very good sign. Says they're probably going to move forward. She jumped all the way up to a one at Keeneland. A one for an early three-year-old is an extremely fast number. And off that number, they sent her into the race you'd expect, which was the Kentucky Oaks, where she ran very well to run second behind Secret Oath, who was an easy winner. But she bounced a little bit, as you would expect, to a 4 3/4, which was kind of right back to her other level. So the question here on her is her level really kind of that 4 or 5 level, or is she as good as the Keeneland race? It was a wet, fast track, so a little bit different, but she ran the one. She's got all those other numbers that are right around the 4 or 5 area, and to me, you're betting that she's going to come back and run near that one again, that she's got more in the tank. She bounced a little bit last time in the Kentucky Oaks, still ran well. She's had 5 weeks since then. And should be ready to run a big one again. And that big one, the one, is the fastest number in the field. Rich Strike has run a 1 1/2 in the Derby. He looks to bounce off of that since his previous top was a 9. So an 8-point new top for Rich Strike. This was only a 4-point jump for Nest, and she's got a race in between. So her pattern is better. Her number is faster, and it's faster than anybody in the field. So when you get the fastest number, well, that's actually not true. We the People ran a half at Belmont, but again, that was on a different track and doesn't have as much time coming into this. So to me, the pattern and the number power is there for Nest. I think they looked at this field and thought, we're going to give it a shot. It's not that tough. She does have tactical speed, which I think is very important in here to stay close. going a mile and a half with We the People, the likely leader in here. But Nest has been pretty close going two turns. She won't be pressing. It's Jose Ortiz. It's going to be watching Flavien Prat all the way on We the People. But I think Nest has a big, big chance in here. So from a thoroughbred perspective, she's the play. And anything more than 4-1 in here. And then I'm going to use her with We the People in Exactus. So, well, okay. Looks like we've got Jay. Do we have him, Kevin? We don't. He says both phones are charged and ready. So that's the note I got from him. So we're gonna try to get Jay. I can do the other thoroughbred race here while we get him. I'm sure we will. We always do. So again, Nest, very interesting play here to beat the Derby winner Rich Strike, use her with We the People down on the rail, the pace advantage horse with Flavien Prat coming off that big win in Peter Pan. But again, like the pattern, a little bit better on Nest. The numbers are about the same, and she's going to be very tough in here. So excited about that Belmont. All right, I'll jump to Santa Anita, where I'm going to talk about, let's do race number 6. It's a hillside turf race. Love those races. And the horse I like in here from a thoroughbred perspective, one coming down the hillside, it's number 6, Unbridled Mary. So again, number 6 in race 6. At the Great Race Place, should go off right around 4:20 today. These are Calbreds. And the 6, Unbridled Mary, debuted at Del Mar with a win, which is always really nice to win the first time out sprinting 5 furlongs on the grass. Joe Bravo was riding that day. Took a break after that in November, came back in February down the hill. Joe Bravo aboard again. And again, showed a very nice turn of foot late, surged at the wire. And was able to nail a horse that came back to win there, Demone. So impressive win coming back as a 3-year-old for Unbridled Mary. Then they got excited and sent her to Keeneland for a stakes race, the Limestone, where she was wide the whole way around and got pushed a little bit early. She ran okay in that race, ended up running 5th, and a little disappointing effort. She was 5-1 there. Then they brought her back here to Santa Anita, ran her 6 furlongs, and she got off slow. And I thought that really threw her, and she did not run her best race last time out. Ramon Vasquez was the rider. Joe Bravo is back today. I think that's very important that Bravo takes the ride again. He's won twice on her. He knows what's going on with this horse. And I think Unbridled Mary is set to really come back and run a big race here. Hang on, I got to get her right in front of me. Where is she? The race at Keeneland, she ran an 8 3/4, which is the fastest number in this field from a thoroughbred perspective. And again, that was running 5th. She came back and ran a 10, which is right in line with everybody else in here. But she's got that faster number to go back to. She gets to go back down the hillside, which she did successfully. She's run, again, a 10, an 8 3/4, and a 10.5 in her last 3. And I think she's set here to come running back to her best, coming down the hillside. She's a little bit of a price, 4-1 on the morning line. I think we're going to get that. And, you know, again, fastest number in the field. Reason to believe she's going to run well again over a course she likes. John Sadler trains. Bravo is back. So I thought all systems go in here for Unbridled Mary, the 6. Going to use her with the 2, Connie Swingle. Was a very fast number on dirt. Then ran a 10 first time on the turf. Comes back on the turf here. Should run a little bit better, and that makes this a very good race between those 2. The 2, Connie Swingle, and the 6, Unbridled Mary. If you had to add one more, it would be the other D'Amato, the 1, Rose Dawson. But that's the play from a thoroughbred perspective at Santa Anita in race 6, Unbridled Mary. All right, let's get to our man, Jay Friedlander. We got him. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
How are you?
Doing well, sir. It's a great weekend. It's a decent card at Santa Anita with some field size, and mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, I mean, the Belmont card, I mean, at first glance, when you looked at the big races, it was a little disappointing seeing some of the short fields, but mm-hmm. like you mentioned, there's 8 graded stakes, and there's some big fields in some of the other ones, so overall, it's a pretty well-balanced card. I wasn't too disappointed after handicapping the card as a whole.
Right, yeah, I agree, and you've been, you know, focusing on Belmont, as you always do this time of year. This is the big card, and well, we got an awful lot of talent on this card. The high end is there. There are some superstars and some superstars in the making going to run today, and there's definitely some opportunity up and down the card. So I know you went at it, looked at it very closely, and the race you're going to talk about is the Woody Stevens, right?
It is. I figured let's start at Sanita first, since the Woody Stevens is a more exciting race. And let's look at race 8 there at Santa Anita.
And, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, we're going down the hill, and actually, no, we're not, are we?
We're not.
Half flat. We're not going down the hill. That'd be nice if we were, but six and a half flat's fine too. Yeah, and so we're looking at the favorite here, and we're going to try to beat him because that's what we do. And we'll look at number 5, Yes He Can. And Yes He Can is a 3-1 favorite. It's a pretty mild favorite. Last couple of times Yes He Can won were back down at Fairgrounds, and they were for lower tags. One was for 17.5. Then there was a starter allowance for 15,000 at Lone Star. So when you look at something like that, and you've got Kyle Frey aboard, who's a fair to middling 10% rider, but you say, hey, that's a favorite I think maybe I can beat. So we're going to try to do that, and let's go to number 2, Finestra. Finestra made his debut last time on the turf and went to the lead, which he doesn't always do. He's described as an early presser type, and so he can actually pressure the pace like he did a few back on the dirt under Rispoli. But certainly when nobody else wants the lead, Finestra has often taken it as well, and really took to the turf under Hernandez, made almost every pole a winning one, just fell a tiny bit short, and lost by a nose to Exaltation, was a pretty good horse. And you get the services of Juan Hernandez, the leading jock, by a pole here, on at least on the dirt. And you also get Vladimir Serin training, and Serin's having a 27% meet, so he's having one of his better meets, and Serin's always been a top-quality trainer. So, liking number 2, Finestra, I think Juan's going to send him from the gate. I don't think he looks back today.
Yeah, I think they had to be happy when they saw the form in here, because there's not a lot of other speed, to get after Finestra early, which is what you want when you've got a horse that's going to be on or near the lead, and he is. He's a lightly raced 6-year-old. And I'm with you. I love the fact that, having only run on the dirt, they try him on the grass. He's kind of bred for it and ran great. So, it opens up a lot of opportunities for them. And he is the speed of the race for sure. Drew inside. So a lot to like here about the 2, Finestra, for Vladimir Serin and J.J. Hernandez going back to the turf after that nice effort last time, going an extra half a furlong. But again, if nobody's going to press you early, that's when you want to try to stretch out a little bit. And that's kind of how it played out here for the 2, Finestra. So definitely a win bet on the 2. How are we doing the exotics?
Oh, we'll use 5 horses here. We'll use Barristan the Bold, who Finestra's been duking it out at least once, and Barristan the Bold's been as consistent as clockwork. We'll use that favorite, Yes He Can, because he figures in the mix. We'll use Midnight Special, who was not that far behind Barristan the Bold a couple back, and he's 12-1. Niles yes. Channel is another price. California Street is a horse that's given Finestra some trouble, and California Street's a decent price at 5-1. So let's play it like so. We'll play a 50-cent trifecta, 2 with 3, 5, 6, 7, 9 with all. That's the main ticket. And then we'll play 2 savers with the 2 in the second and third slots. So 3, 5, 6, 7, 9 with 2 with 3, 5, 6, 7, 9 and 3, 5, 6, 7, 9 with 3, 5, 6, 7, 9 with 2. Each of the savers cost you $10.
Exactly. The key being the 2, Finestra. This is a nice full field. So it's, and like I said, back half of the card kind of nice at Santa Anita. This is a really good race, good betting race. And Finestra going to be the play here. The 2 with 3, 5, 6, 7, and 9 on a beautiful day out at Santa Anita. On Belmont Day, obviously, you can play the races at Santa Anita. Watch and play the races from Belmont. Nice and easy, just like we like it. So let's go from Santa Anita to Belmont Park.
Sure. We'll talk about a race that a lot of people think is a gimme, but I think not so much. It's a great card, and I do want to mention the race I'm looking forward to as far as a betting race is race 10, the Manhattan, which I think is super deep, and where a number of prices have a shot here. So I wouldn't settle for an easy price in the Manhattan. There's one I think where you can make a nice score if you pick it right. But here, hopefully we can do that in the Woody Stevens as well, because obviously the favorite here is Jack Christopher. And Jack Christopher missed the Triple Crown tail, went on the shelf for a while, and and now is back, and certainly came back strongly sprinting. And I'm a little surprised, frankly, that they're still running Jack Christopher at 7 furlongs, because you think about what kind of target this one's going to have, and you think, you know, he's probably not going to be legged up for the Travers at 1¼. I don't know if he's 1¼ horse, but you'd think maybe something like the Haskell, which is like, you know, a top 5, top 6, 7 3-year-old race in the country after the Triple Crown races, that would be a logical target. So I would have thought they would have stretched him a little farther again than 7 furlongs today. Not. So they might be kind of keeping an eye on this one as mainly a sprinter. I don't know. As you mentioned, he draws the rail. Not the greatest place at 1 mile. And 7 furlongs at Belmont is also a one-turn race. Not that much different than 1 mile. I think it's a little easier to get 7 than 1 mile. But it's not easy. And he's going to be drawing right inside Papa Cap. And Flavien Prat certainly learned to sprint in his time out here. I remember the days when Edwin Maldonado would just beat him to the punch and just outrun him in sprint races. And Flavien really learned. And now Flavien, from his California experience, is going to show these New York jocks a thing to do as far as getting out of the gate, because he knows how to do it very well now. So last time out, Papa Cap beat this one in the lead, and I've got to think Flavien has no choice but to send in the 2 spot, and that could wedge Jack Christopher in. Otherwise, Jack Christopher might be able to keep up with him early, but then he's dueling, and that's not the best thing. The one I like here, I'm going to take advantage of the fact I think at some point they're going to hook up and duke it out, and the one I like here is number 4, Morello. Morello was actually favored in the Wood Memorial, which was a very strong renewal this year, with horses like Early Voting and Mo Donegal. Early Voting, of course, came back to win the Preakness. Morello, you know, you look at that ugly running line, and people that don't look at the comments, what the heck happened? Well, he hit the gate. And usually when you hit the gate, that's pretty much doomsday for any chances. He just never got interested in this. But Morello definitely shows early speed as well, going a little bit longer, so he won't show as much speed here by nature going shorter. He'll be sitting off the other two, and if you look at those races, look at that last one, that 99 Brisk speed figure was every bit as good as Jack Christopher's. So I think Morello has a fighting chance here to knock off that favorite, who some people might be thinking is the best 3-year-old in the country right now. We'll find out today, because he's going to be tested for class, because Morello's a darn good horse.
Yeah, they have really high hopes for Morello. I found it kind of interesting that they end up bringing him, cutting him back to 7 furlongs here. I know he won nicely going 7 furlongs in his 3-year-old debut back in, in February at Aqueduct. But then again, you know, he went up the ladder to the Gotham, then to the Wood. And I thought he had real excuses in the Wood. Like you said, he hit the gate. He didn't break well at all. He was kind of out of the race. And instead of giving him another shot going long, they cut him back. So, again, another kind of interesting move. You get Joel Rosario, as good as Juan Lescano is. That's kind of an upgrade, I think. And especially when you're looking for a jock to sit a little bit, you know, let what looks like a pretty strong pace duel unfold in front of you, and then try to come nail him late. I think Rosario's the guy you want for that job. And he's aboard here on Morello, who, like you said, disappointing in the Wood, a lot of reasons to excuse that race. And his Gotham was very, very impressive going 1 mile. And now he gets to go 7 furlongs here in the Woody Stevens. So the number 4, Morello, in race 6, the Woody Stevens, where Jack Christopher is going to be, I'd say 2-5, 3-5 in here for sure. I think he holds that morning line. And you beat a horse like that, it opens up all kinds of possibilities within the race and for multi-race wagers.
Yeah, absolutely. And no question that as good as Lescano is, it's a night and day move up to Rosario, who's one of the strongest finishers in the country. So I do think Morello's got a heck of a chance here. And at 9-2, I think you'll get most of that. Maybe he'll get a little action. You might get 4-1. You might get 7-2. But it's a lot better than 2-5.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just an interesting race, like you said, for the connections of both of these to cut back to the sprint. It is a Grade 1, but I'm not sure where you go from there. Like you said, you know, going to stretch them back out. I don't know, but and today's its own puzzle, and you just got to play the puzzle that's put in front of you. And I think you have an interesting point, too, about Papa Cap, who, you know, went at Jack Christopher last time. Ran well, but Jack Christopher ended up, you know, kind of running away from him late. I think Pratt's got to do what he's got to do here and send and try to, hem him in a little bit. It's just the way the draw came up. Again, you got to play the puzzle in front of you. And like you said, Pratt knows how to break from the gate. He's got a fast horse underneath him and, go at it again, see what happens. And that really could set it up for somebody to come nail them and the four Morello looks like the one. So straight win bet here, or we have another play?
Well, you can play the exacta here with the two favorites. Morello is not the second favorite even. But I would box the two. I would box Jack Christopher and box Morello. And then as far as betting it straight, I'd do a 10-to-win, 10-to-place bet on Morello, bet it in that format. And hopefully they both cash. But even if they don't, the 10-to-place should offset the 10-to-win if that doesn't cash. And you should grind out a little teeny profit if I'm figuring it right.
Yeah, but the key here is get Morello home. Get him home on top. Let's get all the money. And this comes in, you know, right after the Brooklyn, which I thought was a pretty wide open race going a mile and a half. And then just before, the seven, the Ogden Phipps, which is just a wonderful race with the Letruska, Malathat, Clairiere, and Search results. So, you know, you get in between that and get Morello home. That pick three could play very, very nicely.
Absolutely, and I really think, despite the fact that Letruska has been so dominant for any race that's not the Breeders' Cup, I do think you can make at least some small case for every one of those runners in the field. So without going into much detail here, I did try to beat Letruska today, and we'll see if I can do it.
Yeah, and I'll add that just to look at that race quickly, because it's such a nice race. This is, again, the Ortiz brothers in a big race where it's a little questionable how it's going to play out, because Letruska is clearly the speed of the race. She always is. She draws the rail. She's very fast. And she's the fastest in here early by far. The only horse with a chance to press her and keep her honest early is the five Search results, and that's Jose's brother, Irad. But that might compromise both of them. So I'm very interested to see how Irad Ortiz plays this. Whether or not he just kind of runs for second and lets Letruska go, or if he goes after her, which I think gives him his best chance and also kind of sets it up for everybody else. So we'll see what the Ortiz brothers have cooked up. They're in together in, I think, six of the big races. And this one I found very interesting, because that's how the race sets up. If it was another jockey, you'd think, well, he's got to press. But since it's his brother, I'm not so sure. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I do think in many of these cases where they're paired up in these races, they're both riding Chad Brown horses. And this time, only Arad's running the Chad Brown runner. So what I think you're going to see, Jason, is I think you're going to see Search results up close enough for Letruska to make a run and pounce if Letruska falters. But I don't see them dueling it out. I'd be shocked if, frankly, that happened, because, you know, it is Arad and it is Jose. But I think Arad would be ready to pick up the pieces if he's right there and he hears those footsteps behind him where somebody is about to come and catch Letruska. Arad's going to say, hey, if someone's going to catch Letruska, it's going to be me.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating race. I think it's unfortunate that we have to think this way about those guys. They're both great riders. Arad's a little rough. He's had a couple more rough rides even after his suspension. But anyway, we're going to watch those two all day, and keep a close eye on them. But this is a really good one. The Ogden Phipps is a legit grade one where it's not deep, but everybody in this field can really run. And Letruska is going to have to be on her A game, even though she has a pace edge to win this one. So excited about the whole card. We'll remind folks, Morello, the play in race six, number four, in the Woody Stevens. Jay, appreciate it as always. Have yourself a great day. And it's going to be a fun one. You got a lot of action today on both coasts. So good luck to you. It's been a nice run for you. Big pre-play win last week with a very nice trifecta. So let's keep the roll going.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. All right. So Jay Frieda, like we said, on a very nice roll. Thoroughgraph on a nice roll as well. I think they had three winners at Santa Anita last Sunday. The free play just got nailed, but they hit a very nice exacta there. Going to get back after it today. So a lot of options for you. RacingJason.com to get all the plays. Wishing you the best of luck on the Belmont card and the Santa Anita card and wherever you play today. So from everybody here at Inside Racing, Jay and Steve and Kevin working the board, I'm Jason Levine saying good luck. We'll talk to you next week right here at 7. Go get them.
The Patriot AM 1150.
Naira Bets has become the go-to for betting horse racing for fans across the country. They enjoy incredible HD live video and replays, competing in online contests, and earning more back with exclusive promotions. It all starts with new players earning up to a $200 new member bonus with promo code JASON200. Sign up now at NairaBets.com or download the Naira Bets app to get started with promo code JASON200.
KEIB Los Angeles. This is The Patriot, AM 1150, broadcasting throughout the Southland and all over the world on iHeartRadio. The Patriot, AM 1150. The following is a sponsored program that does not reflect the opinions or policies of KEIB AM 1150, The Patriot, or iHeartMedia.
Welcome to Living Without Knee Pain with knee pain specialist Dr. Philip Yu, the founder of 21st Century Knee Pain Institute. If you suffer with knee pain, you will not want to miss the next 60 minutes where you can learn how to live pain-free with